is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. Jared Stillman, Fireball Hot Take Friday. More details coming out about the Robert Kraft story. We will keep you updated on that. Somebody tweeted me and said, bad joke, Jared Stillman. I don't remember. I don't know what, like, what joke did I make?
I don't know.
About, like, was it about the Kraft thing? Like, well, I don't remember making a joke.
I don't
but
know.
But anywho, I'm not, the thing I love about this show is that this is the show that is about sports. And I do love that. And this thing last night, so I guess I need to throw a disclaimer out with what I'm about to say. I feel like the Nashville Predators are going to go to the playoffs. I think we're all confident they're going to make the playoffs, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's no thing when you talk about trades or games like last night's game or games like tomorrow's. I look at tomorrow's game. You're 1 point up on Winnipeg, and I think it's 50-50 that they win at Vegas tonight. So you could be up a point tomorrow, or you could be down a point tomorrow. Either way, but you win tomorrow, you're back in first place, and that's great. But at the same time, that one game tomorrow or last night's game, that's not going to be what wins the Predators the Stanley Cup, and I understand that. So I just kind of want to throw that out there of, like, I'm going to complain about something that even deep down inside I still don't think is going to matter when it all matters, but I got to get it off my chest.
Okay.
And that's P.K. Subban. I mean, I defend P.K. Subban maybe more than anyone. For what reason? The fact that I believe when it does matter, P.K. is going to play hard and play well. Did you see what he did last night that gave the Kings their only goal?
I don't remember.
Just terrible. Just terrible. Ian, did you see what P.K. Subban did last night to give the Kings their one goal?
The lack of clearing?
Yes.
Yeah, I did say a little bit about that. He cleared it and didn't really get it out of the zone, kind of went back behind the net, turned it over.
Just a turnover right there that leads to an L.A. goal. And I remember a couple weeks ago they played Dallas. They won in overtime. And right before overtime, he tried to lazily clear the puck out of the zone, and it just kind of hung around the boards. And the guy from Dallas came in at 95 miles an hour and got a breakaway on Saros. And Saros saved the game by making that stop. And again, I think P.K. Subban's going to play a lot better when the games matter in the playoffs. But I defend him like every day on this show from the callers who always want to get on P.K. for everything. And it's the more I watch, the more I see P.K. out there. And I'm like, P.K., step it up. I mean, I understand it's February and you're probably not going as hard as you will go in March, and certainly not as hard as you will go in April, or at least all of us hope not as hard as you will go in April, because we hope you'll go a lot harder in April. But P.K., every game you can't do something where there's a goal. And I look back and I say, who did that? 76. He's got to stop doing that. It's starting to drive me crazy.
Well, they have, you know, I mean, I'm not sure he's played as well defensively as we expect him to.
You know, oh, certainly not.
Certainly hasn't played as well offensively as we expect him to, but even on defense, I think it was a little bit, and I think probably part of the same reason, you know, a little bit out of shape, a little bit not quite in tune with it. So we're gonna marry this injury thing as long as we can.
Well, but the question then has to be, do we really care about it? If it doesn't matter, if I'm of the belief that P.K. Subban is going to have his A game in the playoffs, and I go back to the 2017 run where you could take nothing away from what he was doing out there. He was phenomenal in that 2017 playoff run as your number one defenseman. Everybody kept saying, the Predators have four number one defensemen. Not true. They had one number one defenseman who was clearly better than the rest of them in the playoffs in each of the last 2 years, and it was P.K. Subban. And so am I just to believe that he's going to go right back to that in the playoffs? And so, Jared, who cares if P.K. gets lazy or P. PK doesn't clear the zone, or PK turns the puck over, or every time right now in February, you see the other team score, and you look and you say, okay, who did that? And you look at the replay, and it was 76 who was out of position, or it was 76 who left his guy, or it was 76 who couldn't get it out of the zone. Like, do we just shrug it off and just say, whatever? Because we know that in the last 2 years he's been the best defenseman? Or do we look at it and we say, PK, you got to play better because you're in first place right now, and first place might actually mean something.
Well, I mean, you know my feelings on it. I'm not one of those turn the switch on, turn the switch off guys. I mean, I think the way you prepare, whatever. Now, and the difference between football and hockey, for example, is we have practices, and this is why you emphasize practice so much in the NFL. Because you've got two or three practices during the week, just like the Preds have two or three games during the week. Mm-hmm. You know, now that we can't play that many games, so those practices take part of some of the games, and that's why, you know, I mean, I have never believed that you can just go out to practice and mess around and not practice and, you know, do it half-heartedly and go out on Sunday and play well. Those two, you know, don't fit to me.
Yeah, but don't you think that PK can kind of take a playoff here or there in the regular season in which maybe he's not as focused, but that when he's in the postseason, he will be focused, so it shouldn't be a concern?
Maybe.
I mean, playing with focus is, to me, the mental aspect of the game is the difference in PK in the regular season and in the postseason. That PK, when they're playing, now, PK has done some dumb stuff in the playoffs, don't get me wrong. I mean, the cross-check in the back in Game 4 of the Winnipeg series when you were up, I think, like 2-1 or 2-0 or 1-0 or something. You were up a goal, and PK cross-checked, I want to say, Shifley in the back with 2:20 to go in the game, and now PK goes to the box, and they're just firing pucks on your net. That's a problem. And even PK said after the game, said, hey, you know, that was dumb. So I at least give him credit there. But I feel like in the regular season, PK makes a mistake, leads to a goal, lose the game, fine. You know, he made a mistake. In the playoffs, when you watch him, it feels like he is locked in. He is dialed into his defensive assignment and definitely cares way more about defense than offense in the playoffs. In the regular season, I'd say it's 50-50, and he's trying to play offense. He's trying to score goals. He's trying to fly the puck up to the offensive zone. In the playoffs, he is very sound with his assignment. And I just feel like he plays a different brand of hockey. And the players play a different brand of hockey. And the refs ref a different brand of hockey. So if we know that PK's got all this experience and he's done this three times, the 2 years he's been here and now this year, I shouldn't be upset about it. And it shouldn't be something that I'm sick and tired of watching. But because I watch every game, I'm sick and tired of watching it. I'm sick and tired of seeing like that kind of effort out there. Just not clearing the puck out of the zone, turnovers in his own zone. All of those things are driving me nuts.
Well, this boils down to, and forget PK, forget, you know, but generally speaking, when a player is young and healthy and, you know, an all-star, everything they do is right. You know, if they go out into practice and get in a fight every day, they're just getting ready to play. Mm-hmm. You know, this is my Blaine Bishop story. He's just getting ready to play. You know, he's working himself up because they play so hard on Sunday. Well, when you get to a point where maybe you're not an all-star, maybe you can't quite do the same things that you used to do, and now you're trying to crank it up and you can't quite get there, it becomes something else. You know, it becomes you're a cheap shot guy or you're a bad guy in the locker room, or you're the same guy doing the same stuff you did. It's just at a point in time, you were among the best in the league, and now you aren't among the best in the league.
It's like Antonio Brown when he was doing all of his drama stuff. It was, that's AB, that's what AB does.
Yeah,
that's what.
Now all of a sudden it's different. You know, AB's a cancer. So, I mean, that's the part that worries me, because if you go into, and I don't know, how old's PK?
I don't know, 28, 29?
Yeah, so you go into, you know, one of these playoff series, thinking you're just going to do what you've done for the last 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden it's not quite there, then that shot in the back that you was stupid before, now it's a cheap shot. Now you're in the penalty. Now they score on a power play. Now we lose the game, and now it's your fault.
Oh, if they had lost that game, it would have been PK's fault.
All of those things, I think, ramp up. So that's why I always worry about those things.
But I just think that he just plays with a more focus in the playoffs, and I'm okay with that. And I don't want to say I support it, but I clearly care more about the playoffs than I do last night's game. So
sure.
I feel like I should not be upset about it. I feel like I should get over it, and I should just be used to it, and I should be okay with it. When Ryan Hartman doesn't play well in the regular season, then you get on him because you've never seen Ryan Hartman play well in the playoffs. But not PK. You've seen PK play at the highest level he can play at in the playoffs. So honestly, I feel like I just need to look at myself and say, stop being a crybaby, Jared. Just get over it. And that's probably how I should feel. The one of the top trade targets, apparently, for the Predators, Matt Duchene, is headed to Columbus. Does that mean the Preds have to go get Mark Stone over the weekend? Corey Curtis, News 2, will join us next to discuss on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and Floyd. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared the GM, Predators win last night over the LA Kings. They are now in first place. Again, Vegas plays tonight, Winnipeg plays tonight against Vegas, and I'm kind of starting to get excited about this whole first place thing now that I know that the curse of the President's Trophy is non-existent because Tampa Bay is going to have about 150 points this year.
They've already got, what, 98? Something like that?
I think if they don't win another game, they will make the playoffs. That is how...
They're like 22 points ahead of the Preds.
Which means that you don't have to worry at all about the President's Trophy, which is cursed.
Sure.
I heard them on Boston Radio. They were talking yesterday about the Bruins at the trade deadline, and they said, you know, if you get one guy, if the Bruins go get one guy, does that make them better than Toronto in a first-round series? I don't know. Well, then it would get you to Tampa, and then you just have to hope that, you know, you can beat Tampa in a playoff series. And it happens. It's the one sport where you can outwork somebody in the playoffs, and I would agree that unlike the NBA, where it's set in stone, at least even if the Preds don't make a trade to get better than Winnipeg, or if Winnipeg makes a great trade, it doesn't necessarily mean Winnipeg's going to win a seven-game series if they meet in April. And with that, Corey Curtis from News 2 joins us now on the show. Matt Duchene goes to Columbus, 2 ones and 2 prospects, which essentially sets the market. Corey, what do you think, and what do you think it means for the Predators in terms of what maybe they need to do down the stretch?
Did they get a long-term deal with them out of that?
So the second first is conditional upon Duchene signing an extension. If not, it goes back to Columbus.
Okay. I can deal with that. I can deal with giving up 1-1 and then if you get the deal. But, yeah, I mean, it's a lot. And that was always my concern, is I wasn't willing to give up, you know, a one and a starter, you know, necessarily, or 2 ones. It's a lot. And, you know, I keep thinking about back to when the Preds did play for the Stanley Cup final. And I just remember Colton Sissons had the hat trick against Anaheim. I remember Frederick Goudreau scored 3 goals in the Stanley Cup finals. I remember Harry Zolnarchuk playing meaningful minutes. You know, it wasn't a trade that they made that put them over the top. It was guys, everybody stepping up. And that's, I think, what this team needs more right now than necessarily a trade. I mean, I know it sounds fantastic to add a big-time goal scorer, but you can add a big-time goal scorer. If everybody else still doesn't play better, I don't think it's going to matter.
What do you think about the next week ahead? Take out the trade deadline for a second, but Colorado is not that great. They come in here tomorrow. Then Edmonton, who's not that great, comes in here Monday. Then you've got St. Louis and Winnipeg. I feel like this is a huge week for the Predators in terms of if they can get hot right now, they can really, really kind of run themselves into a position they want in the race for the Central Division or whatever race you want to put them in, except for the President's Trophy, of course.
You know, the crazy thing is they've played so many more games than every team in the NHL.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, they played at least 2 more than everybody else in the league, and I don't know if that's because they got maxed out on the national TV games or not, but they're way ahead of everybody in games played. And so even though they're a point ahead of Winnipeg, I think they've got three games in hand with the Preds right now. So I don't know if it's a situation of getting ahead of the race, but kind of getting yourself back in position. I mean, you know, I know you think those teams are terrible, but, you know, the Preds have lost to terrible teams before. They need to come out and play well, and they need to get 4 points. And then with St. Louis and Winnipeg, they need at least two. So they need at least 6 points in this four-game stretch, you know, to kind of, you know, hold St. Louis at bay a little bit, because the Blues are coming strong, and to put a little bit of heat on Winnipeg. I mean, Winnipeg knows it's got three games in hand. That's a really big number.
Corey, with the deadline on Monday and after the Duchesne trade to get today, how deep into the trade market do you think the Preds are now?
You know, if that's what they got for Duchesne, and who's left then? Stone?
And we were guessing on the show that means that Tolvanen a first and maybe a second first, if you can extend Stone, that's probably the market now for Stone.
And that's an awful lot. I mean, that's an awful lot. Now, Stone's a big-time player. And so, you know, I can see that. But part of having these young players where the Preds have been successful is they've been able to bring guys up and have them play at lower-end contracts so that they can pay the other guys. Because you can't just have high-end pay guys all throughout your lineup. You can't afford it. You can't do that against the cap. So, you know, they've been successful in bringing guys along and having them fit in under the cap. And that's where my concern is, and I know you talk about going for the cup now. You're going for the cup now. You know, but you can also play yourself out of the cup, you know, for future years if you get yourself in a bad spot. And it's just an awful lot to give up. And I guess part of it is, do you believe in Tolvanen or not? And I'm going to guess the Preds have a lot better answer to that than we do.
Do you think there's still some guys out there in the trade market that, you know, that they're looking at? Maybe not at that exorbitant a price, because I agree with you, that's a lot of stuff. But
yeah,
somebody...
you know, I don't know who all is available at the lower levels, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
But, you know, all that's going to get fans excited is adding a guy with 25 goals, all right? So, you know, but what's going to get me excited is to see all these other guys play better. And we've seen more secondary scoring the last few games, and that's been good to see. And so that's, again, I know I already harped on it, but that's what I'm focused on, you know, because I also, you know, I don't know Stone. I don't know Duchesne. You know, I don't know how they fit in the room. I know Brian Boyle fits in the room. I know he's the right kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you mortgage the future and you get a guy in there and, you know, he's out clubbing till 2 a.m. instead, you know, and I'm not saying either of those guys is that guy, but, you know, the guys have got to fit, you know, because otherwise you can ruin everything, you know, and that's the danger with the trade, you know, and making the big deal late is, you know, do you ruin an already pretty good thing, or does it in fact make it better? And do those players somehow elevate your guys? Because I think that's a bigger question than adding a goal scorer, is do they help elevate the players around them?
Corey Curtis, News 2, is our guest here on the show. I'm going to put you on the spot, Corey. If the playoffs started today and the Predators had St. Louis in round one with the possibility of Winnipeg in round two, how far do you mm-hmm. think the Predators would go?
You know, it's a really good question, you know, because, you know, when you live in the now, you sit and you're saying to yourself, they're not playing great hockey. So I'm trying not to live in the now, and but I'm also trying to tell myself they haven't played their best hockey and they're still in first place. So, you know, I think ultimately they can go all the way to the cup finals. And I think the biggest reason I've got is, I don't think the Western Conference is very good. I continue to harp on the fact that the last 2 years, you've had an 8 seed and an expansion team represent you in the Stanley Cup Finals. That doesn't speak well for your conference. And so I think the conference is there to be had, and I think the Preds are certainly good enough to do it if guys elevate their game. And part of that is, you know, guys getting healthy. You know, good to see Kyle Turris score, you know, last night. If he didn't score on that one, we'd have real issues. But he was active last night, and as he gets reacclimated. You know, he should help make that line better, and he needs to make that line better. And he's not the only one. You know, there's other guys who've got to produce more, and I think they can, and I think they will. I know a lot of people say, can you just flip the switch? And I say, yeah, maybe, because we've always talked about it, you know, when the Preds were in trouble before, you know, having to flip the switch January 1, and they did it. So maybe when playoff time gets here, it is time to flip the switch, and they can do it.
So how far do you think they'd go?
Yeah, you know, if you're asking me to bet, it's hard to do.
Here, I'm giving you $100,000 right now, and I want you to put it on a round.
On a round?
Yes.
Well, okay, and I'll go round two.
Okay, that's probably the safest right there is round two.
Yeah.
So you have a round two loss to Winnipeg right now.
Right? Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, because, you know, with each round, there's a better chance of losing, so... I got $100,000. I need to play it safe.
Corey Curtis, News 2 with us on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What's your hot take of the week, Corey?
I am just at a loss with the NBA. I'm just completely at a loss. You know, I don't know what what's worse, the prospect of Space Jam 2 or Anthony Davis sitting out the rest of the season. It's just... That league's got to figure itself out one way or another.
So it's interesting you bring that up. Apparently, like, so everybody tells you, well, the NBA ratings are great. So you can say the NBA's boring and it stinks and all of this, but the ratings are great. My thing is, as far as the NBA is concerned, is I believe that eventually all this not caring about the games, like none of us care, I think ultimately mm-hmm. that's going to catch up with the league.
I completely agree with you. And they tried to nip it in the bud with all the maintenance days guys were taking. But here's the bigger problem, I think basketball, like no other league, is controlled by its players.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, because, I mean, in that league, see, the NFL, people get upset with the NFL because of the shield. Guys have to wear their helmets. Because they always want the logo and the name on the front to mean more than the name in the back. And when guys are gone, everything is just interchangeable. The Dallas Cowboys are still the Dallas Cowboys, whether it's Roger Staubach, Troy Aikman, or Dakota Prescott. And in the NBA, you're a LeBron James fan. And if he's in Cleveland, you're suddenly a Cavs fan. If he's in Miami, you're suddenly a Heat fan. And now you're suddenly a Lakers fan. And so the teams don't mean anything anymore. You might as well go to the YMCA and go shirts and skins because you're just rooting for a guy.
But see, the difference, this is my thing, is the difference is the players have ruined this because they've built the one super team and then all the little mini super teams. And so now, like, shirts and skins at the Y is you're trying to pick, okay, your team's going to be even against this team, and then we're going to try to have a good pickup game. Not, hey, I want all the best players on my team, and then I want to win the pickup game 15-3. That's why shirts and skins at the Y is better than the NBA.
I mean, that's, you know, when you look at Jordan and how he was able to elevate the players that they brought in around him. I mean, that's always the difference with him and everybody else. Look, Scottie Pippen could have gone to 100 other teams, or, well, 31 other teams, and I don't know if any of those teams would have made him the player that Michael Jordan did by demanding excellence from him all the time. It's kind of like, you know, the guys who got hooked up with Brady and Manning, those receivers. They became great players, but how much of it had to do with the expectations that they had heaped upon them by their quarterbacks? You know, the ability to achieve greatness through building is lost in the NBA. It's simply bought and agreed upon with a handshake.
I hate the NBA. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always. Corey, appreciate it.
Thanks, Corey.
All right, have a great weekend, guys.
We'll see you, Corey. So I could not agree more with Corey on his take about the NBA. And for years, the ratings would just go up. So people would say, see, the ratings are up. Well, now the ratings in the NBA are in the toilet. Double digits down. And apparently the Duke-North Carolina game the other night was the highest-rated basketball game on cable this year, period. And what's that tell you?
Well, it's hard to watch the NBA anymore. I mean, we talk about this all the time.
It sucks.
It's hard.
And I mean, like, when I was growing up, Like, if you're 7 years old, you've never watched competitive basketball in your life. Like, you, like when he brought up Michael Jordan, my thing with Michael Jordan was, like, those series between the Bulls in Utah or the Bulls in Cleveland or the Bulls in Indiana, like, those were great series and good basketball. And Utah just as easily could have won a couple of the games and won the NBA Finals. Now, it's like we all know Golden State's going to win, so who cares?
Well, I had a guy today talking about it, and he was messing around with his phone and pulled up like videos of fights during the NBA in 1990s. Unbelievable, the fights and how many and how honest to goodness the fights were.
Oh, they were like Draymond and kicking somebody.
Yeah, now you think about it. I mean, when's the last time you saw a fight in the NBA? You know, just that, and he said part of it is everybody's got their brand, and nobody wants to mess anybody else's brand up, so you know they don't fight anymore. It's kind of like, hey, chill, my brother.
Do you think like those guys that actually got into it back in the days? Do you think they look at Draymond right now and think he's a total phony?
Oh, I'm sure they look at
like
the league
Dennis
now,
Rodman. You think he looks at Draymond? Geez. And thinks that Draymond is just a total phony?
Oh yeah.
I hate the NBA. I really, really hate the NBA. And if you like the NBA, I don't know how you can like the NBA. It's not competitive. It's not interesting. NFL Network right now has a replay of Patriots-Chiefs, the AFC title game. That is maybe the most competitive game this season. We never see that in basketball anymore. We never see it. And the series just makes it Golden State in five. Is Golden State going to win this year in four or five? That's the question. 615-737-1025. The Preds are very optimistic about where they are headed. Do we agree with them? We'll get to that coming up next. It's a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
And that's going to do it. The Predators string together victories. They beat the LA Kings here tonight, 2-1.
A good gutsy win by the Predators. You know, they have been struggling to score goals as of late. They struggled to score a little bit tonight. I thought they held on. Pecorine was really good. They got a goal in the power play, which was great.
That was Jeremy Roenick last night on NBC after the Predators win. And we felt good about the Predators win. We didn't feel great about it, but I would say we feel good about it. And for all the complaining that we've done about this team this year, and I would say we were probably the lead complainers. For all the complaining that we've done, they're in first place right now.
Yeah.
Now, there's got to be something that you got to at least be a little happy about that. I mean, I am. I definitely think things are looking up for the Preds. And they played a good game the other night at Dallas, and I like this game, and they've got a golden opportunity with the two games here at home, and they're going to have to play hard to win them. But Colorado and Edmonton, and then at St. Louis, at Winnipeg, if they can get hot this week, they may be able to start blazing a trail in the Central Division. Peter Laviolette was asked after the game last night about the team getting better down the stretch.
Was the sentiment inside the dressing room that maybe this team's best hockey is still ahead of it because of the up and down nature of the season, the injuries, team getting healthy? Do you have any agreement with that?
Yeah, I mean, I do. There's pieces of it that I like. Like, I like the Dallas game. I really like the first two periods tonight. I thought that we maybe were a little bit too defensive in the third period tonight. But then once they scored, I thought we played our best in the third period after that. So there's been some good things. And then there's been some games that we'd like to forget. You know, the game in St. Louis, the game in Vegas, those are a couple tough games for us. But, you know, we're trying to be consistent. We're trying to get on a little bit of a roll. I think confidence comes from that when you start winning hockey games on a more regular basis. And so, you know, now we got a couple behind us and see if we can go throttle down from there.
So he's kind of saying yes, but, you know, the coach doesn't want to commit to, oh, yeah, we'll definitely play better in the future because, I mean, he hopes they do, but he doesn't know one way or another. I mean, that's kind of the whole point of playing the games. Roman Josi was asked the same question after the game last night.
Roman, do you feel like this team's best hockey is still ahead of it?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's still things we can do better. There always is, but I think we talked about it. You especially now, those games are so important. You wanna get your best game going, and I think there's still room for improvement in this team, and hopefully we can get better and better.
And on the TV broadcast, Turris and Pecorine said very similar things. Floyd, do you agree that the Preds are going to get better for really this last month and a half as they dial in down the stretch and get ready for the playoffs?
Well, I mean, that's absolutely what we've been hoping. I mean, this whole time. And we talked to Crispy this week, and Chris, and I point blank asked Crispy, you know what, give me a timeline for when you really, and he said about a month. So, I mean, if all of that's true, and if they continue to improve play and continue to get, you know, additional scoring, et cetera, from different lines, then I think they're headed in that direction. I mean, all the things that we've kind of been complaining about, we've seen in the last couple of games adjustments to that.
You know, hey, who was begging on the air about him breaking up the first line? You know, me.
Got a power play. We got you know, some scoring from somebody other than the first line. You know, we've had some things like that. So you look at it and you go, okay, that's cool. That's good. Let's keep that going. So, I mean, I don't know how you could look at it any other way right now.
I think it's going to be the way it's been the whole season. I think they're going to get hot at some point. Maybe it's this week. And if they roll off the next four in a row, and let's just say they do. This time next week, they roll off the four. We'll be at the Combine. We get back. They beat Winnipeg. I mean, at that point, everybody here will be talking Stanley Cup again. Yeah, everybody will be, okay, now they're on their way there. But then I would say that, you know, there's probably going to be a little bit of a dip again, and then they'll go back up, and then they'll be... The question is, I believe the playoffs work like this. I believe the playoffs are two parts. That there's the first part at the very start, where if you get hot at the very start, it helps you in the back end because you get the rest for having one in four games. You get a week off before your second round series, and you're not doing all the flights, and I think that has a big, that plays a big part in it. And then I think there's the second part of the playoffs, which is the back two series. And it's all about when you get hot and how you get hot in those. And then I think the question is, can the Predators probably be okay in that first series, okay in the second, and then get hot right at the end of the Winnipeg series and through the conference final and to the cup final? And if they can do that, then I think they have as good of a chance of as anybody of winning the thing. It's just, to me, I can't just right now just say, okay, they've won two in a row, so they're going to all of a sudden get it into gear down the stretch. I'm with you. I'd like to see it. I'm with the coach. I'd like to see it. I'm just not sold that that's exactly what's going to happen.
Well, and I mean, I think you have to keep in mind, you know, last night's win was a nice win, but
that 2-1 against one of the worst.
That's teams. Not a great hockey team, and these that are coming up aren't great hockey teams. Now, Winnipeg, you know, they're going to be for real. We know that, and so you know, it's always the same in my mind, which is when you get a chance to gain momentum, you need to do it, especially you know this time of year. And if that means beating some teams that we expect you to beat, it all counts. It's another W. 2 points, we'll take the 2 points. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with any of that.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, we go to your phones on the Preds. Jonah is up next. What you got, Jonah?
Here's what I have. Monday, I'm going to be wearing my What Would David Poile Do t-shirt in honor of the trade deadline. And I know I'm going to be sitting in fifth block, and the Preds are going to trade Fiala, Tolvanen, and a first for Panarin.
What a bad trade. Thank you for your call, Jonah.
Wow.
That is so much for so little. That is a pure rental, and you're giving up Tolvanen and a first. Fiala, whatever. You know, I mean, I like Fiala, but everybody else doesn't, so whatever. Tolvanen and a first. You realize that's... I mean, that's way more than Columbus just gave up in order to get Duchesne, because I doubt that these prospects are as hyped as Tolvanen is. And two ones, but one's conditional on Duchesne signing a long-term extension, and we know Panarin won't sign an extension. I would argue there is no chance that trade happens.
Who did we hear today say that they thought that they were going to try to re-sign Panarin?
You didn't hear from me. Columbus?
Yeah, after this trade.
No, they're going to try to re-sign Duchesne.
Right. That's part of the trade.
Right. I mean, I think Panarin's made it pretty clear he's not going back there. Now, maybe they'll use that to save face and then try to keep him and use him as a rental to try to win the cup. I mean, you could do that. They're not going to win the Cup. They have no chance of getting out of the East. They have the hardest road of really any team that you could have. So there's no way that they would get out of the East. But that's fine. Knock yourselves out. Do whatever you want. But at the same time, I'm not giving. Now, if you're giving up that package for Stone and the first round pick, so you're giving up Tolvanen, Fiala, and your first for Stone, and you get an extension out of Stone, fine. That's a whatever. Again, I'm not. I don't have one feeling one way or another on trading for Mark Stone. I don't think Mark Stone wins you the Cup, but I do think Mark Stone's a really good player. So either way, I'm fine with it. If they don't trade for it, I'm fine. If they do trade for it, I'm fine. I just don't. I'm indifferent.
The extension's the whole thing that appeals to me.
Yeah, you can't give up Tolvanen and Fiala a first and not get an extension.
And not get an extension. So if you get the extension, then in my mind, okay, fine. You're trading a lot, but you're getting a good player, and you're getting a good player for a number of years. And, you know, the hockey brain set decides that the thing we're due. I'm with him.
ESPN 94.9 Game 2 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listening tonight as Nashville SC takes on New York City FC at First Tennessee Park for their preseason friendly tonight. What a great match that's going to be. Pregame at 6:45, kickoff at 7 on ESPN 94.9 Game 2, powered by your Middle Tennessee Toyota dealers. Coming up next, we'll get more into the Preds, more thoughts, and Jeremy Roenick had something interesting to say. We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
What's got to be better in these last 20 games that you talk about? Where can this team improve in order to be ready once day one of the playoffs start?
Well, I think we've talked about that a lot. It's we haven't found that consistency. It's been, you know, we've had a good game and, you know, got kind of off night and good game. And, you know, if you want to be at the top of the league, you can't do that. And I think just finding that balance and that you know, we gotta be desperate. You look at the standings and, you know, right now, I guess we just passed Winnipeg. So, you know, it's a great time of the year. And, you know, like I said, you look at the standings, how tight it is, and every game matters.
Pekka last night after the game on NBC Sports Network. And I think he summed it up pretty well right there.
I don't, you know what's amazing, and I just dawned on me right now, but the goalie is the most unique position in hockey. Because as a goalie, if you go out there and you think, it's just February, your team's going to lose about 6-0.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're Pekka, you've got every time you hit the ice, it's a playoff game for you. Because you carry the weight of the entire franchise on your shoulders. How is it he can do that every night and some of these other guys?
But we have to wait for BK to start playing 100%.
And he never leaves the ice. I mean, he's not out there 45 seconds and go sit. No, he's out there the whole time. I just marvel at him.
So it was, they talk about all the trades and all the everything about, you know, Preds need this, Preds need that. I was thinking about this last night. Do they really need all these trades, or is it really all about him? Because Keith Jones and Jeremy Roenick, after the game last night, were talking about Rene, and they circled back to the fact that, hey, in the playoffs, it's all about him.
Big win for Pekka Rene here. I thought he had a major influence on this game. I love hearing him talk after the game, too. He speaks very intelligently and seems to have a great understanding of the way his team needs to play in front of him. And when you have a leader in goal, it goes a long way in providing a certain level of comfort to your team when the playoffs start to roll around. He wasn't great last year in the playoffs, to his own admission, so important for him to play well. Leading to the playoffs, have his confidence at a high level, and that should help Pekka Rinne's game, and obviously the Predators' game kind of falls in place after
that. Yeah, I think that's why I was interested in that question that Bush asked him, is how excited you are for the last 20 games and what do you have to do to get ready for the playoffs. And I'm sure in the back of his mind he was thinking about how he performed in the playoffs last year. I know he was really hard on himself, apologized to his team, apologized profusely for especially the last goal and winning goal that ended their season last year. So just like Pekka Rinne does, he comes back, he's humble, he's respectful, and he just goes about his business. And tonight was another day where he just went about his business, made some huge saves.
And I'm with that. Like, I'm with Roenick and Keith Jones right there about, you know, hey, he wasn't great in the playoffs last year, but he knows He's got to get the job done. And I'm sitting there thinking, is that really what matters? That he gets the job done in the playoffs? More so than all the, you know, Mark Stone or Artemi Panarin or... does that matter, or does him getting the job done matter, and that we just need to keep watching him and hope that you get the same performances out of him that you're getting right now when it comes playoffs?
Oh, I was messing around this morning, went through, was looking at NHL stats. Not, I didn't go deep into the weeds, just kind of the major, you know, four on offense, four on defense, and, you know, the leading, who are the top 20 in each area, et cetera, et cetera. There are two Preds names in all of those players. Pekka?
Arvidsson?
Saros.
Oh!
Only two names. Nobody else. Top 20 and, you know, whatever it was. Scoring, average per game. I don't know what all it was. But all of those kinds of things. But then you go over on the defensive side, you know, and there's Pekka's like middle of the heap and Saros is down. But you know, they're both in there.
Well, I was thinking about this. You know, Saros goes out, gives up five goals on Saturday night, bombs his stats. He played great. Yeah. You know, it's that's yeah. Now that is the other part. Let's go back to the phones.
My point was kind of like, does Pekka have to? Yeah, Pekka. Now, maybe, you know, maybe with Saros playing better, that may be a little bit of a crutch too.
Well, they asked him. Boucher asked him in that interview after the game about Saros, and Pekka said, hey, his time's coming, and he's great, and I love him, but it makes me perform every night.
There you go.
Because he knows about him. The tomorrow's Preds Fangtastic 5K has been postponed due to the bad weather that is hitting the area, so just
due
wanted to put that out.
The river being up to Second Avenue.
You know, I was gonna run the 5K. I think I was gonna win last night or tomorrow. I thought I was gonna come in first place. Guess we'll never know. Thomas is up next here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday on the trade deadline. Go ahead, Thomas.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
I couldn't agree anymore with that statement about how the Preds go is how Pecorino goes, and I wouldn't trade for no other player. Wasn't this team's fate the fact that they wanted to stay together to try to prove that they could go further or win the cup?
Yes.
Right. So why would you give up all your assets for Stone or whoever's out there? If you don't make it this year, then Duchesne is free next year. If he wants to be in Nashville, guess what? He'll be in Nashville. And that's all I got to say.
Thanks for the call, Thomas. I think it's a very valid argument.
Yeah. Good argument.
And the other part of it is this. They begged to keep the roster together going into the offseason, and Preds management did that. My gut tells me that if they go out in the second round to Winnipeg again or the first round or something like that, there will be massive changes on the roster. Massive. You know, there will be this guy traded, that guy not re-signed, that guy signed kind of stuff. But I can't disagree either way. If they give up essentially the same package for Stone that Columbus gave up for Duchesne and they extend Stone, I guess I'm fine with it. And if they don't do anything Monday, I guess I'm fine with that too. I'm more rooted in how that goalie's playing when all's said and done. Is the goalie on his A game, and can you just get him some help? Like four guys that can consistently score. So Forsberg, Arvidsson, and just give me two other guys who can put the little black puck in the white net. And if I have that, I feel good. But it all starts with the goalie more than anything else. Robbie Stanley, NHL.com. He will join us in studio next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on a Fireball Hot Take Friday and streaming on the Game National app.